to New Life. Would you stand and worship with us this morning?
Thank you. that you may be seated. Isn't it glorious that God always turns his face to us? We never have to come together to worship God, afraid that God will just turn his back on us. He comes to us. He invites us to come to him. He always pursues us. He always draws us, always seeking to bring us into relationship to him. We get to celebrate that this morning with baptism, where baptism also signifies that God draws us to him. He wants us to come to him. And so I'm going to invite the Sherman family, Dave and Talia, to come forward at this time. To present their firstborn for baptism. And when we present a child for baptism, it's a picture of God and his promise to include children in his kingdom, to include children in his family. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." And baptism is a sign of God's promise that when they come to him, he will promise to love them. He will promise to receive them. He will promise to draw them into relationship with him. And so we ask the parents then to respond to God's grace, to respond to that God turning to us with promises of their own. So we'll hear that this morning from Dave and Talia. And then we anticipate that one day, we'll hear their child respond to God's grace as well. So, Dave and Talia, as you present your child for baptism, you claim the promises that God presents to us for your child. And we ask that you respond to God's grace with hope that one day she will respond also to God's love for her. So Dave and Talia, do you love and trust Jesus as the Savior and the Master of your life? And do you promise to train up your child in the truth of God's word so that they can know the way of salvation, teaching her by words and example to pray and to follow Jesus? And will you pray for your child and raise her in a church community that represents the body of Christ in this world so that she can learn to be a citizen of God's kingdom? What is your answer? All right. Well, this is sort of special. So we just sang this song that God would turn his face to us from generation to generation to generation. Now, you won't be able to see it. Well, you can. So Mabel is dressed in a gown that Dave himself wore not that long ago. Well, okay. Yes, so this gown has been turned into a baptism gown from Dave's grandma. She wore it as her wedding dress and then transitioned it into a baptism gown so that Dave's mom, I think, wore it and other family members. And then it has been passed down so that many grandchildren also have been baptized in this gown. Isn't that a beautiful signal of God's faithfulness? Right? Now, you can't see it, perhaps, but on the gown, so when you just bless Dave and Talia and little Mabel after the service, you'll greet them, make sure you take a look at the gown. It's got all of the names of the generations that have worn this gown embroidered, the names embroidered on the gown. In all my years, I've never seen that. I'm impressed. I don't know about you. Yes, and Dave's oma's name is Evelyn. And so they've named their first daughter Mabel Evelyn Sherman. Mabel is an English name. It means beautiful, or loving or lovable, indeed. And Evelyn is also an English name, means desired, and maybe even it comes from two names, Eve, which means alive, and Lynn, which oddly means an island. I don't know how to put that all together. It's just that Mabel is such a darling, so cute, very lovable, and just a delight. And so I want to bless her with these words from Psalm 27, verse 4. I'm asking God for one thing, only one thing, to live with him in his house my whole life long. I'll contemplate his beauty. I'll study at his feet. And so may Mabel always, even in her beauty, always marvel at the beauty of our God. So let's baptize Mabel. Mabel Evelyn Sherman, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite family and friends to surround Dave and Talia. Is that okay? Yep. Yep. So come on up, and we're going to say a prayer for this family. And provided all of you don't come up, the rest of you can extend a hand of blessing upon them. Wonderful. Beautiful. Wow. Lots of family. Dave's parents came out from Ontario. They've got grandparents, aunts and uncles. Small group. Beautiful. Let's pray together. Before we pray. So this baptism isn't just something done on Mabel. This is a reminder to all of us that God extends those promises to all of us, and he invites us to make promises. And so I invite you to respond with, we do, God helping us. Do you promise to be that community, congregation? Do you promise to be that community of Christ that loves and prays for this little one, and a community that nurtures faith in Jesus for Mabel? What is your answer? Did you hear that? They promised, right? Let's pray together. God, we rejoice in your goodness, in your faithfulness, indeed from generation to generation. And so we rejoice, God, in your love. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving Mabel. Thank you for loving Dave and Talia, and God, drawing them into your family. And we pray, Father, we pray that you will equip Dave and Talia with wisdom and strength and blessing to raise little Mabel to know you. And then, God, we pray that one day Mabel will respond to your love with a love for you on her own. God, we rejoice in your faithfulness, and we give you all the thanks. We pray for your spirit to bless this young family, God. We pray that your spirit will encourage them in life's journey through thick and thin, through difficult times, and through times of rejoicing. God, and may they depend on you. May their faith, God, be strengthened by your spirit, so that they will remain enduring and faithful in all things. May they rejoice in your goodness always. God, thank you for the family that surrounds them. Thank you for this congregation, God, in which all of us promise in faithfulness to bless our children and to guide them and to lead them to you. And so may your spirit, God, move in our lives together, that we may be the body of Christ, and that we may reveal your kingdom, your rule in this world. And in all of that, we rejoice. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thanks. You can go.
New Life Church. You can all hear me? There's a slight pause on this microphone. I forgot that. Welcome. Welcome to New Life Church. My name is Rob Bransma, and I have the honor of hosting you this morning. It sure is special to be able to witness firsthand the baptism of young Mabel, knowing that she will grow up and love Jesus, and that God's promise is with her. I'd like to invite all the young kids, young children, boys and girls, come on down as we extend an invitation to them to come get prayed over and blessed as they continue their worship downstairs with Kids Church and Little Lights. So our Kids Church is for grades 1 to 5. Our Little Lights are for ages 3 to 5. So come on down. We'll pray a blessing over you as you get ready. If you're serving in Little Lights or Kids Church this morning, please also come on down. Parents, you're welcome to come and bring your kids downstairs too, or the leaders can help them downstairs too. Congregation, will you join with me in extending a blessing over these boys and girls? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for these boys and girls, and we thank you that you have entrusted us to care for them and teach them in your word. We know that you have created each and every one of these boys and girls, and you have something special to speak to them today. Jesus, we also want to bless our leaders and our teachers. Give them energy and wisdom to speak your truth into these young minds. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessings, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Little Lights and leaders, you can go down the door to my left, down that way. So that's ages 3 to 5 down that way, grades 1 to 5 down that way. So happy that you're all here with us today on this beautiful sunny day. It's nice to get this nice sunny weather that we can actually wear shorts to church in June, I guess it is now, the first Sunday of June. Here at New Life Church, we hope that you feel the transforming love of Jesus. And we had a host meeting the other night where we gathered as hosts and got to kind of change ideas, exchange ideas, and chit-chat about how we can improve as hosts. And we came up with a new acronym that we want to share with you. The acronym is ESRIM, E-S-R-M. Now, who can guess what the E would stand for?
Everybody.
Close. Experiencing God's love. So that's the E. What about the S? Can anybody guess what the S is? This is really difficult. Sharing it with everyone. So we want to experience God's love. We want to share it with everyone. The R is really tough. Nobody's going to get it. But if you get it, I think there's probably some Honduran coffee that we can give you. So who can guess what the R is? Who said that? Kevin DeWaldy. You were there at the meeting. Rolling up the sleeves. Kevin, you're not allowed to participate in the next one. M. Anybody can guess what M? Yes, bud.
Mom.
Yeah, hey, that's a great. Moms are invited too. Moms are people. We want to meet people where they're at. So that's a good guess. So experiencing God's love, sharing it with everyone, and rolling up our sleeves, meeting people where they're at. So speaking of meeting people, it's a nice little segue into the next part here. If you're a first timer, or a guest, or if you've come a few times to life, we want to visit with you. We want to get to know you a little bit more. So please fill out a Connect card. They're in the seat pockets in front of you. And just bring it to the info booth so we can get to know you. And if you have questions too, just fill that out on the Connect card, and we hope to answer some of those questions for you too. If you bring that card to the info booth after the service, you'll get a New Life tote bag. Inside, you'll get a coffee tumbler. And you might just find a fresh bag of that fair trade Honduran coffee as well. If you're online this morning, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Just maybe comment where you're at, who you're watching with. And then drop a like or a follow. Apparently that helps with the algorithms. I don't know. Like the Gen Zers told me to say that. So just those people that are watching online, like or follow. It really helps somehow. I don't know. Anyways, all right. New Life Live. Not New Life Live. New Life Live. This coming Wednesday, June 7th, we're having our semi-annual congregational meeting. So semi-annual, I think, means twice a year. So this is the first one, and there'll be another one probably sometime in the fall. So semi-annual congregational meeting. This event will be live, but also streamed live as well. Live stream, New Life Live, lots of living going on. Yeah, so if you want a physical copy of the info packet for that meeting, you can grab it from the info booth afterwards. Seniors, speaking of all seniors, 65 plus, today is the last seniors lunch. I'll repeat, last seniors lunch of this season. George Bohr, take note, don't show up next week and expect a free lunch, or next month. I actually have the privilege today of pretending to be a senior, because my dad and I, Bob, will be sharing about the Canadian Food Grains Bank and the work that we do with them at the seniors' lunch today, so I'm looking forward to that. We're going to get ready for our fellowship time and offering. So we'll be worshiping God with our offering today for the New Life Ministries. We've had a great year of ministry, and we are so grateful to God for all the amazing ministry moments and work that's been done this year. We're planning a Volunteers Appreciation Night. So if you are a volunteer with New Life, please RSVP to that event. If you haven't received the invitation, please check your mailbox or your inbox email as well. We want to make sure that we show our appreciation to all the volunteers that help out with making New Life Ministries happen. You can give your offering electronically in a few different ways, online, through e-transfer, and through the website as well. Or you can bring it down to one of the boxes down front during our 3-minute fellowship time. All right. I'm going to pray for the offering. So if you just join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise your beautiful name. You are a holy God, and we know you will multiply this offering and do great things through New Life Church and its many ministries with the gifts given here. Lord our God, how majestic is your name, and we pray that we can all experience your love, and that we can share it with everyone, and that we are given the confidence to roll up our sleeves and meet the lost where they're at. Jesus, bless Nathan as he brings your word to our ears. And in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now it's time for our 3-minute fellowship time. If you're new here, this is a time where we just kind of, you can go grab a coffee or water and just meet those around you. Let's actually roll up our sleeves first and then meet those around you. And we encourage you to meet somebody new, shake their hand, and as an icebreaker question, ask them if they're a volunteer or if they would like to volunteer here at New Life Church. So 3 minutes. Go. Thank you for having me.
Kings and queens will shake.
Take a seat, please. Welcome again to New Life. So good to be together, worshiping our God. I want us to take a moment to pray together as well before we open God's Word and just ask for a Spirit's blessing to come upon us as God speaks to us through His Word this morning. Going to pray together, and our youth are gone with youth leaders Janessa and Jacob on a youth retreat, spiritual maturity retreat this weekend, and they're wrapping up today. They'll be returning later this afternoon, and so we want to pray for a blessing on their weekend. Mindful also of just want to commit our lives to God. Having different experiences. By the way, thank you so much for all of the condolences in my father's passing and for the comfort that that is to myself and my family. Also for the Aperlues, Bruce and Russell, their mother passed away and memorial was this past week. And also Bruce Gritter's mother passed away. And so in the midst of that grief, we want to bring those concerns to God as well. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you are our Father, that your hand is always upon us and always providing for us and always holding us up. And so we pray, God, that your hand may be upon us even now as we gather around your word, that you will speak to us, turn your face to us, speak your love to us. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds to know that love. God, you are ruler of this world. And we pray, God, that you will continue to be active in it and that you will make yourself known in our world, a world filled with pain and violence, with war and destruction. God, we pray for all of the situations in the world where there is disaster, thinking of India with the terrible train crash, so many lives lost. God, we pray for your presence there. Bring peace and restore order and life in the midst of that chaos. God, we pray for the people of Ukraine continuing on in this drawn-out war. Pray, God, that you will show them mercy and your love. God, we pray for each of us as we've gathered here in this place, representing the body of Christ. God, we rejoice that you make us part of your family, that you draw us close to yourself. And so we pray that as we draw near to you, that we may experience your love, know your love, live in your love. Comfort those who mourn, Father, and pray especially for the Gritter family, for the Aperlew family, for our family. God, in the midst of death, help us to see that you are the giver of life. Restore our faith, strengthen our hope, and draw us ever closer to you, even there. And so, God, we open our hearts to you now. pray that you will fill us with life, even as we thirst for your word. Give us life that lasts forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we're in a series of messages on the Holy Spirit, and we're covering some of the images that the Bible associates the Spirit with. So that we've talked about oil, and so we think about the Holy Spirit and its anointing upon us. In the Old Testament particularly, people specially positioned in as priests or as kings were anointed with oil to symbolize being anointed by the Holy Spirit for a special task. We talked about the dove being anointed, Jesus, when he was baptized, and that was the inauguration of his ministry here on earth, was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and a dove hovered over him. And then last week, we celebrated Pentecost Sunday, remembering the day that the Spirit came upon all believers, and a flame, a tongue of fire hovered above all of the believers in the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church, the body of Christ. This morning, we want to talk about the Holy Spirit and its association with the image of wind. Wind or breath or air. Just think of how air is always moving, and the Bible associates that also with the person of the Spirit, believing in a three-personed God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible associates that with wind. Now, wind, well, like fire, it's a peculiar thing. It's always there. It's often around us, and it's quite ordinary on the one hand. And yet, who can understand it? Wind is that kind of thing that we're like. I mean, if you were to describe it, you'd kind of run stuck because, well, it's there, but how do you explain it, right? And so also, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, Sean and I have been sharing our experience of writing up these messages and thinking about the Holy Spirit and how we present it in the context of these various images. And we've wrestled with the fact that, well, yeah, we can say things about the Holy Spirit. We can talk about the Holy Spirit, but that's not enough, because the Holy Spirit is much more than just something to be explained. And yet, that might well be our tendency to talk about the Holy Spirit and say, oh, yeah, okay, I got that figured out. And then, we quickly, too quickly, grasp or assume we can grasp onto the Holy Spirit because we've explained it. We know what it's about. But there's also this sense of wonder about the Holy Spirit. And that's the characteristic of associating the Holy Spirit with the image of wind. Wonder. A teacher asked her class one day to list the seven wonders of the world. What are the top seven wonders of the world? And so kids would write their list of seven wonders. And most of them got it right. They were able to mention Egypt's great pyramids, the Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, the Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, China's Great Wall. Great wonders of the world. And so kids, they handed in these papers with these lists of seven wonders, and the teacher was impressed that, my goodness, these kids are smart. But there was one girl who hesitated to hand in her list of seven. And so the teacher drew her out and said, so why are you hesitating? The little girl said, oh, because there's so many wonders. Oh, the teacher said, oh, that's not a problem. Just give us your list of seven, and we'll help you out, kind of, you know, to sort out which ones are the seven great wonders of the world. And so the little girl began to read her list of seven great wonders. She said, I think it's a wonder that we can see. I think it's a wonder that we can hear. I think it's an amazing wonder that we can feel. I think it's a wonder that we can taste. I think it's a wonder that we can touch. It's a wonder that we can laugh and that we can love. And when I read that list, I was taken aback. Not because I'd never heard of those things before, obviously, but because that list of seven, I tend to take for granted. And yet, indeed, they are some of the greatest wonders of the world. G.K. Chesterton, commentator of the 19th century, said this one time. He said, the world is not lacking in wonders. The world is lacking in a sense of wonder. People lack a sense of wonder. You and I often lack a sense of wonder. And that's what Jesus in our passage this morning is trying to lead Nicodemus in. This is the story of Nicodemus, and we want to reflect on that from John chapter 3, the beginning of John's gospel. He tells this story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, John says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, which perhaps doesn't mean a lot to us, but he was a Pharisee. That meant he was a religious leader. He was responsible for leading people into the presence of God. He was a member of the ruling council. He was looked up to as the leader, the religious leader. He came to Jesus at night because he had questions. And he didn't want anybody else to know. I mean, it's kind of tough, right, as a leader to go, you know what, I really don't know what I'm doing. So I'm going to go to somebody else that everybody was suspicious about. Nicodemus goes and dares to go to Jesus. He came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. Now, this was perplexing for Nicodemus because Nicodemus was responsible for leading people to see God. He was a Pharisee, and the parameters for that were very precise. And along comes this unknown fella from Galilee. Nothing good comes out of Galilee. And this fella is helping people see God. How does that work? Jesus replied, I think Jesus probably interrupted, in fact, Nicodemus. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Which simply befuddles Nicodemus. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus is thinking of himself, I suppose. Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit, unless they're cleansed and filled again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised, Jesus goes on, at my saying, you must be born again. And then here comes our image. Jesus pulls this in. Look, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And then John adds, how can this be? Nicodemus asked. And Nicodemus is drawn into wonder. Wonder. With all kinds of questions. In fact, perhaps his initial question not even specifically answered. But he's filled with wonder. And that's what Jesus is leading Nicodemus towards. Because understanding being born again isn't just something easily explained. It's mysterious. It's mysterious how the Holy Spirit accomplishes that being born again within us. It ought to fill us with wonder. Which is why Jesus associates the Holy Spirit with the movement of wind. Nobody understands the wind. I mean, well, okay, so we can explain some of the dynamics of wind, and we can say we understand a tornado, and yet tornadoes still surprise us. Where did it come from? How long is it going to take to get here? We don't know. We say we understand hurricanes. Yes, we can explain some of the dynamics. But as devastating as they are, who can help but wonder at their tremendous, devastating force? Have you ever wondered about the wind? Not to explain it. I've never desired to be a meteorologist. But have you ever wondered, why is the air constantly moving? You walk outside, air is always moving. We say, oh, the wind is still. But there's still air movement. What's driving it? Is anything driving it? Where does it come from? Where is it going? You ever wonder? There's lots of things to wonder about. Sorry if you're an arachnophobe, but spider silk. Engineers have wondered and envied spider silk forever. Just because of its properties and all of the uses that spider silk has for spider webs. And among those uses is that spider silk serves as a kind of transportation for spiders. Here's the explanation. It includes using it as a sort of flight known as ballooning, in which a few threads of spider silk are lifted by electrostatic forces. I have no idea what I'm talking about here. Lifted by electrostatic forces in the atmosphere, carrying them far and wide on nothing more than a light breeze. Spiderlings are known to survive without food while traveling in air currents of jet streams for 25 days or longer. You gotta wonder about that. All of the intricacies of creation and that works for spiders? It's amazing. You gotta wonder. I think sometimes we're afraid to wonder because we live in a culture that knows a lot. And we quickly endeavor to say, we'll explain it. And then even faith, we strive to explain everything so that it makes logical sense to us, and we lose the sense of wonder. But wonder is not the opposite of faith. Wonder is not exclusive to faith. To have questions doesn't mean even to have weak faith. Nicodemus thought so, and that's why he showed up at night. But wonder wonder is in fact part of faith. To have questions is part of faith. I experienced this in the recent passing of my dad in the last, probably last months. My dad was he was a believer all of his life, grew up in the church, was a faithful Christian, loved Jesus, desired to have the Holy Spirit in him always. That's my experience of what he modeled and what he taught us. And yet in the last months of his life, he wrestled with his faith. And at first, I was disturbed by it. I was like, come on, God. I mean, my dad would have these horrific dreams that would cause him, when he was awake and talking about these dreams, it'd be disturbing. And I would think, God, why don't you bless him with peaceful dreams, glorious dreams of angels? But they weren't. They were dreams of wrestling in faith. And it caused my dad to ask a lot of questions about his own faith. And at first I didn't think it was fair. But then I began to realize this is part of faith. That was the reality of my dad's faith. It was part of his wondering. Oswald Chambers helped me understand this. He wrote this. Oswald Chambers, also an 18th century preacher, famous for his devotional, "For My Utmost, For His Highest." He wrote this. He said, "Faith is the inborn capacity to see God behind everything." Adding this, "It's the wonder that keeps you an eternal child." Faith is the wonder that keeps you an eternal child. Wonder. Wonder, he goes on to say, is the very essence of life. That's what my dad was wrestling with. Wonder is the very essence of life. You can't just grab a hold of it and say, it's mine. We'd like that. We'd like to be able to grab a hold of our faith and say, it's solid, it's mine. There's always that component of wonder that demands that we release it. To continue on with Oswald Chambers, he says, "Beware always of losing the wonder. And the first thing that stops wonder, get this, is religious conviction." I suspect that's what Nicodemus was wrestling with. Here's a man who was a stalwart leader in the Jewish community. Everybody looked up to Nicodemus to say, "Lead us to God." Nicodemus was full of religious conviction, but he lost all of the wonder. So Oswald Chambers says, whenever you give a trite testimony, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus, yeah, yeah, I'm born again." Whenever you give a trite testimony, the wonder is gone. The evidence of salvation is that the sense of wonder is developing. That's how I saw my dad's faith in his last weeks of life. His wonder was developing. In the midst of the questions, in the midst of the wrestling, it's wonder. Wonder that we can't easily grab a hold of and package it and tie it up and go, "I got this." There's a certain release that needs to happen. Wondering is that significant aspect of faith that we need to surrender, to wonder, is to see holiness. And if you think you can just package that up, you no longer can see holiness. Which is why Nicodemus can acknowledge Jesus as at least being sent by God. He was beginning to see, or at least searching for holiness. And that was the beginning of his trust in Jesus. The story of Nicodemus is beautiful because John starts his gospel with this story of Nicodemus. And we're used to reading this story and kind of making a judgment on Nicodemus almost to say, ah, silly man, he just didn't know any better. He should have figured it out. Silly man. But then John, at the end of his gospel, in John chapter 19, after Jesus has been crucified and he's dead, it's Nicodemus that comes to bring Jesus' body for burial. And you gotta wonder, what happened? What happened that Nicodemus, in the midst of all of his questions, was able to surrender it all in the presence of a crucified teacher? And Nicodemus, in public, bothered to tenderly take the body of Jesus and bury it in respect, in honor, in faith, that indeed in his crucifixion, Jesus was the Savior of the world. You gotta wonder, what could happen to make that kind of change? Well, when Jesus likens the Holy Spirit to the wind, he's also talking about the assurance of our faith. Wonder leads to faith and to the assurance of faith. Look, Nicodemus comes to Jesus, right? He comes to Jesus because he's looking for assurance that he's got things right, that he's got things all packaged up, that he's got things in order to be the kind of leader that he's aspiring to be for the Jewish community. And he's depending on himself to figure it out, and that's why he comes to Jesus. Jesus, if you can just answer these questions, I'll figure out the rest, and then I can continue on in my role leading people into seeing God. And Jesus, instead, this is why I think Jesus actually interrupted Nicodemus, introduces Nicodemus to an entirely new world. Look, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. It's a new world because that doesn't happen in our world, right? It's impossible. Nicodemus makes the obvious known. How can you enter a second time into your mother? It doesn't make sense. Flesh gives birth to flesh, Jesus says. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to your spirit. In other words, you can't do it. You can't save yourself. No matter how strong you think your faith is, you can't save yourself. Not even faith can save you. Jesus likens it rather to thinking that we can give birth to ourselves. You can't. And so also, you can't breathe everlasting life into yourself. You need the breath of the Spirit. Incidentally, wind and breath are the same word in Hebrew in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, the word pneuma, from which we get pneumonia, right, is the word for breath, but also the word for spirit. You can't breathe the breath of everlasting life into yourself. And so Jesus says, you need to be born again. So back in Genesis chapter 2, there's a reference to the breath of God. God breathes his spirit, the breath of life, into the creatures that he has made, the human beings that he's made. And then in the same way, John's gospel captures that sentiment or even that reference to back way back in Genesis, where God breathes life into us so that we can be living creatures here on this earth. And John takes that reference. And then in John chapter 6, John says that the spirit of life enters into us. Or at the very end of John's gospel, we get Jesus breathing on the disciples as an act of recreation. Recreated by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's assurance. That's assurance that we're saved, not from within ourselves, but from the wind of God, the Spirit of God that blows wherever it pleases. On one hand, that can be hard to accept, of course, because we're pretty stubborn about the power of our own will. We want the ability to make our own decisions. Self-determination is probably the preeminent value of our culture. Be yourself. Be whatever you want to be. Self-determination. On the other hand, Jesus releases Nicodemus from a huge burden resting so precariously on Nicodemus' shoulders. Jesus, I need to figure this out because the whole Jewish community depends on me. And Jesus says, no, it doesn't. Makes us think of the words of Jesus in Matthew 11 when he says, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The burden of assurance that our faith is strong enough rests not on ourselves, but it rests on the Spirit of God that ministered to Nicodemus, that ministered to my dad, that ministers to us today to say, you need to be born again, the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus says, the wind blows wherever it pleases, rest assured that it is the power of the Spirit of God to give you the breath of eternal life. Let's take a moment right now. Maybe with your hands resting in your lap. And just take a deep breath in and feel the air move through your body. It's as if the Spirit of God is drawn in, enters into you, and gives you eternal life. Just as the air, the ordinary air you breathe gives you life moment by moment. Take another deep breath. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that gives us life. Life everlasting, even here, today, right here on earth. When we know that death nevertheless comes, he who believes in me, Jesus says, will never die because of the wind of the Spirit. And it's that wind of the Spirit that gives us hope. hope that in the midst of disaster, in the midst of violence, in the midst of war, in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of disease and sickness, in the midst of all that is wrong with our world, the Spirit of God moves. The air is constantly moving, bringing change, bringing restoration, bringing redemption into the world. It's the winds of change. The Spirit is effective in our world. It's a way to testify to the real change that God brings about in our world and in our lives. Jesus says, you hear the wind's sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going, and so it is with the Spirit of God. And so we see the world going in directions that makes us afraid. We see the world going in places where we wouldn't want it to go. But the Spirit of God is moving. And when the Spirit breathes new life in us and in our world, then we can move in this world, blown by the wind of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is that agent of movement. It's not our strength. When we say God is our strength, we're depending on the movement of the Holy Spirit to make the changes that we desire, to be born again, to bring redemption, that being born again into this world. The Holy Spirit is the agent that moves in new situations and brings those new opportunities. The Spirit can blow like a hurricane, turn everything upside down in your life, because the Spirit moves wherever it pleases. But it can bring restoration, and it can bring life everlasting into your heart and soul. The Spirit can also blow gently and refresh you with a new vigor. That's what happens. I've come to make that a habit, to once in a while take a deep breath and just feel the cool air flow through you. And you go, that's the Holy Spirit. I just need that refreshment. Jonathan Edwards talks about the Holy Spirit, another 18th century preacher. Seems to be a theme today, 18th century, I don't know why. Jonathan Edwards acknowledged that we can see the Spirit at work, moving in all kinds of places. He says, sometimes we see the Spirit at work in Scripture. And you've probably seen that too. When you're reading, sit down, you read the Bible, and suddenly something that you've read many times suddenly comes alive. It's the movement of the Spirit. Jonathan Edwards said, but sometimes the Spirit comes alive in a certain church. It's not our job to get jealous of that. It's our job to celebrate it and say, wow, look at the Holy Spirit's happening there. Oh, glory to God. So there's always these different places. Maybe sometimes in one part of the world and then another. We desire the Spirit to move powerfully in our world, in our small little world. But in fact, the Spirit is moving powerfully in the third world, where we say, oh, I would never want to be there. Oh, life is too hard over there. And yet the Christian church is just expanding, growing wonderfully there. It's the Spirit's at work. And we get to celebrate that. So here's the thing. We can learn to observe the Holy Spirit at work in our world. We can't see the Spirit, but we hear its sound. We see its movement. We feel its power. So pay attention. Pay attention to the movement of the Spirit in our world and in your life. Pay attention. And that means keep wondering. Keep wondering. You don't need all the answers. It's the problem in our world today, I think, in the midst of our culture wars. We think we need the right answers. We think we have the right answers. Don't lose the sense of wonder. The Spirit of God is at work, renewing our world, renewing our lives, breathing everlasting life into us. Trust that the Spirit is at work. So I want to invite the band back up. Now I want us to take some time to breathe in the Holy Spirit. And to gain that sense of wonder. And just examine your own life to say, yeah, where in my life am I overly anxious so that I've lost that sense of wonder? Where am I scrambling for all of the right answers, but instead I just need to surrender it to God and say, God, I'm just amazed that you are still present in our world. We can't see the Spirit, but we hear its sound. We see its movement. We feel its power. Trust. Trust that the Spirit is at work. When things look dreary or disastrous, wait for the wind of the Spirit to blow wherever it pleases. Always bringing healing. Always bringing change. Always bringing life. And then, with Nicodemus, we can say, how can this be? And then we're sent to wondering all over again. Let's pray together. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with life anew, that we may love the way you love and do what you would do. Breathe on us, breath of God, until our heart is pure, until our will is one with yours to do and to endure. Breathe on us, breath of God, so shall we never die, but live, live with you the perfect life for all eternity. Breathe on us, breath of God, fill us with life anew, that we may love the way you love and do what you would do.
Creation of sin, praise to you.
extend your hands openly. Breathe in. Receive the blessing of our God. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now